One. Hello, welcome to the Being Human podcast with the actors. This is episode 3.
Episode 3!
Something to watch over me.
Wow.
Wow.
So here we are, and we're watching the previously at Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Part. This is actually Battlestar.
This is Battlestar.
Well, you guys are watching Being Human. We're just
watching
sitting here watching
Battlestar. And I'm just curious, like who's the fifth Cylon? You know, who's the final five?
I'm Megan Rath.
I don't know.
Oh, right.
Oh, wait, that's right. They don't know who we are.
I'm Sam. Did I say that?
I'll tell you what. This time, you be Sam Witwer, okay. And I'll be Sam Huntington.
Fair enough.
Wow!
Hey.
I'll be Gabourey Sidibe.
Yep, that's a great idea.
So even, you know what I like? Even vampires have to tie their shoes. In our version, they have to tie their shoes.
Yeah. I actually, I wear Velcro shoes just 9 times out of 10, so I can
That's
avoid.
A werewolf thing.
So I just avoid the, look.
Dirty bad.
They, notice how they cut out the section of my body that includes my balls. They just went straight from my feet to my chest.
Hey, question. What is the significance of that chest there?
Because I get all my pictures and keepsakes out of it.
Keepsakes.
You'll see. Here it comes.
I feel like I've not seen this episode, though. And who's Danny?
He's the guy that rented this library book out to Sally one time.
I had a big crush on him.
They're really unhealthy relationship.
I love that they incorporate pictures of the family that show up later.
I agree. Oh man, he just seriously hemorrhaged.
What was that guy's name again?
Sam Witwer.
Charlemagne.
Charlemagne.
Yes, he did.
Yep. A little history lesson. Oh, by the way, so we looked it up, and it seems that, yes, ears get longer, but they're not sure whether it's because the cartilage grows or if gravity just pulls them and makes them longer.
I think it's a combination.
I think you owe me a little something. I think I won the bet.
So, I'm not going with a bet. I'm going we had a friendly discussion.
We discussed
that ended
stakes.
With you being not exactly right.
I am fully right.
No.
I
would say longer ears don't equal bigger ears.
What the hell?
Because what you said was grow.
Yeah, the surface area becomes longer.
No.
Longer, the width is the same.
What do you think I meant by that? Of course I meant that.
I would call it droopy ears. I wouldn't call it bigger ears. Droopier ears. No.
Check this out.
I like this beginning part.
Yeah.
It's fine.
These two episodes were directed by Jerry Chikaridi.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Great name.
Wonderful name. Good ties.
Good guy. Great name.
You know, we had a hard time wrapping our brain around why there would be a Village Watch set up after prolonged exposure to people resulted in the death of the character at the end of episode 2.
Yes.
And by
the way, hold on, I'm just going to interrupt real quick.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you called the Village Watch.
I know, I was going to
mention Village Watch.
You called it the Village Watch.
Village.
It's because we're in a village
now.
Well,
you have to understand, I'm village old too. My character is 200 years
exactly,
old.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
To him, it's...
started in the village of Salem and Jamestown.
What is it called? Neighborhood?
In fact, this episode was directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Community Watch. This was Village. That's right.
So, but we came up with the idea, actually, me and Sammy, when we were talking about it, with Jerry, we were like, okay, well, it doesn't sound like something Aiden would do, so what if it's just one of those things that Aiden was talking to a bunch of people, and they were talking about this neighborhood
watch.
And he became involved in the conversation, and it's one of those things where some weirdness happens, and next thing you know, he volunteers the house, and he didn't really intend to, and he goes, oh, great.
He got stuck.
And then next thing you know, he's trying to... to make the best of it, but it's not something that he would have chosen to do, and I think that comes across. By the way, I love the guy that plays Garrity. What's his name?
Paul Hopkins.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
And can I just go on record saying I will never have a beard that good?
That's a good beard.
That's a good
beard. You know,
beard.
When he shaves his beard, he looks about 20 years younger.
I know, it's bizarre.
Yeah,
it really does affect him.
Yeah, I bumped into him. He didn't have his beard, and he just walked up to me and goes, remember me? And I took a second.
Wait, I was with you. I was saying that. I was at the rap party.
Remember when we bumped into him at the restaurant?
Yes, but he had his beard then. So I knew exactly who he was. I'm like, you're the beard guy.
Beard guy. That was your name for him. Beard guy.
But really strong performance from him.
Yeah, he was fine. Everybody, I'm just gonna tear people up.
There it is.
And your teaser.
So, okay, so what did we decide with this little eye in here? It's definitely a person walking.
No, it's
not a person. It's
a smudge. No, 100% it's a person walking.
With the
samurai sword.
They gave you a poster. They gave you a poster. Check out the poster. You can see it's close up.
It's a smudge.
It's not a person. Oh God, I hate
you. So, like, vampires brush their teeth, but they don't eat.
That's so weird.
What? You're like
weird. We should do the next podcast we should do.
So
we should just write new stuff for each other. So that the viewers...
Yeah.
So that the viewers can watch... Yeah.
Let's do it for the next scene.
Megan, this scene created this whole character that Megan just did. For the rest of the season, she'd come up with questions for the vampire. Just totally fascinated. At one point, I did a take, and the director goes, I like that take. That was very nuanced. And then Megan says...
Nuance? Do vampires like nuance?
Yes, they do.
Wait a sec, like, you like blood? You drink blood?
Yeah, I mean, it's a vampire.
But gross.
But gross.
Knew it. I knew that.
Anyway, so we thought it was funny. I don't know if you guys probably think, wow, these guys are lame. But,
I think we should do that. I think for the next scene, it's the three of us. We should just do alternate lines.
Yeah. Totally.
But it's when we know it's just going to be the three of us.
Yeah, okay. We'll do
and
it.
And that way, you guys...
Stay tuned!
...can turn off your audio, and we can kind of just do some
jam
fun
a little
stuff
bit.
For you guys.
You can tell that my associates... are getting tired.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
There's less talk about the episode and more just like, you know what we should do.
All right, so this is multiple.
Yeah, let's go on. We can do this. We can just talk about things.
Yeah, right.
That people would find interesting as opposed to just sitting here making sounds like animal noises.
This scene actually, the laughing from this was actually Jerry Chicorini, the director, let it go on for so long, and it was just this delirious.
That was funny.
Yeah,
that was funny.
That was definitely fun.
No, but you know, you kept it fresh the whole time.
There was a whole end part of the scene too that was really funny, but I guess they had to cut it.
What happened in the end?
I guess it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't good enough.
Your performance was really weak.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It was me.
Pella Dream Team.
Isn't she a creepy little thing? Isn't she? She was actually awesome. She was also a stunt woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And she really...
She was an extra in another series that I did.
Really?
Yeah.
She's been around the block.
She's a slut.
She looks used.
She's gonna see this.
No, she's...
And never
she was actually said she was actually really sweet. I think her name is Jenny, right?
Or was it the character's name?
Or was it Barbara?
Oh, God, you guys. but she was amazing. She committed 100%.
Yeah, she was great.
What a terrible wig on that guy.
Yeah, it's so funny that people have said that. I really like. I don't see that being.
So you know, me and Mark talked a lot about what the background between these two characters were, and we never. We don't get a lot of opportunity to see these guys be friends. We do get some. We get some flashbacks later on in the season. We don't get a lot of opportunity to see them in their prime when they were friends. But it's more of an implied thing between me and Mark. And most of the scenes, we're disagreeing with each other. But hopefully, you get a sense that there is an affection between these two characters. I mean, for example, the fact that I'm not attacking him on sight. And that I'm allowing him to sit down after what happened in the last two episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
The weird thing to think about with these vampire characters is they've been involved in so many murders. In fact, me and Jerry Chicorini sat down and worked out how many people Aiden had killed face to face, and the number was staggering in like the thousands of people that he had killed literally face to face, not you know, killed from a distance with a gun or you know, literally hand to hand, and it gave you a perspective on how jaded these characters were.
Right, but don't you think that like part of it for Aiden also is Like Josh, when he turns into the wolf, you know, you're not yourself. You're a beast. When your eyes flash black and the bloodlust comes on, you kind of lose yourself, right? I mean, you kind of...
Not entirely. Really, for example, there's... you'll see in episode 4 that the way that I like to think of it is that it's... I think there are versions, because there are some other actors that are doing different things. My thing is that he's quite with it. He knows what's going on, but he's completely ruled by different things.
You're able to control it now because you have practice, right?
Well, sort of, yeah. But it's almost like, are you a different person when you feel a great amount of sexual desire for someone? Or are you a different person when, if for example, you're an addict and you really, really... For example, a guy who wants a cigarette. Are you a different person because you want that cigarette? And that's the way I don't think he loses his head. I think he's still there and you can... reach him, but you might not be able to convince him to turn away.
Yeah, I don't believe anything you're saying.
Yeah, not a word.
It's weird, I hear you talking.
But we actually made a very... Me and Sarah Allen, in a scene in episode 4, made a very conscious decision to not make it animal-like when... At a one key point when we...
Oh, right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah, yeah.
So, we don't really do it as the animal thing. You do, I mean...
Well, I'm an animal.
Yeah, you're a dog.
Yeah. I like this scene. That's really funny. I'm not into it.
Not into it.
No,
that's my really, really good friend, Kyle Switzer.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's one of my best friends.
Who was up for the role of Josh.
Yep, he was. Yes, he was.
And it was wonderful to see him again because he had a really good audition.
And he's actually a really, really talented guy.
He's so
and
good.
And a sweet, sweetheart to boot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really enjoyed working with him a lot.
Yeah, I also know this girl, Amy Sobel. She's from Montreal,
and also very talented, very funny, and subtle in her humor. As character as she's playing it, she also played it really subtle.
Was that Adam Kane? That was totally
that was Adam Kane walking out.
I never noticed it either.
You know, Adam used to in one of the bar scenes, for example, the bar scene with Rebecca. He wanted people crossing in front of the camera, so he just kept crossing in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And it was so distracting for the director to be walking around, because I always felt like he was telling me. He wanted to get my attention. Because when you see the director move, even in your peripheral vision, you're like, oh, does he have something to say to me?
Right.
And so I kept going, what? Oh, he's just doing frame passes.
Yeah. When we were shooting the scene in the hospital where I walk up to Emily, this is the last episode, when I say... my life is different now. I'm different.
Yeah.
So I had really taken my time to get kind of in the zone for that, right? I'd really taken some time to kind of work on it and really think about what it would mean to me and whatever. And so I'm walking up. It's that slow-mo shot, actually, where I'm walking up to Emily. And as I'm walking up, our first AD decided to do a pass in front of the... Pedro decided to do a pass in front of the camera. And it distracted me so much. I didn't know he was doing it. And that it like, really, it's so funny how, like...
Did they use that?
I have no idea.
There are certain people on the set that you are keeping tabs of.
Absolutely, the first AD.
When you see them move, it's distracting. Yeah. Anyone else could move.
Dude, literally crossing right in front, like right in front. At first, I thought it was a mistake.
Did you say something?
I didn't. We actually moved on after that take. We did that take.
Well, clearly
kept going.
Got it. I mean, it was...
Nah, it was garbage. Right. It was garbage.
Sam, I love how you play the scene. It's so... I really, really dig it. It's like really subtle.
It's fine.
It's
totally fine.
Again, the thing that I always felt like is that this Aiden should be at his friendliest and most open and...
Yeah, I mean, you're really sort of covering up this anxiety.
If he thinks he might have to kill somebody. Right?
Basically, yes. That basically, he does friendly as a lie. He does friendly as a tactic to get information or to maneuver someone into some sort of...
And you're an alien.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's Paul.
It's actually Jacob from Twilight.
Yeah. Picture of Robert Pattinson.
No, it's not our Pats, but what's his name? I don't know what's his name. Muscles.
I haven't seen it.
Muscle face.
His face is muscle face.
Dude.
But yeah, the idea being that his true I just thought it would be interesting if you almost liked him the most when he was maneuvering.
Right.
Because that is a tool that he uses.
Right.
And
I have a tool that I use.
Oh, I know you
here
do.
Here it is.
You always talk about it.
Can I ask, what's around? Is that a cell phone holder around you? What is? Oh, it's a walkie-talkie.
Come on, Megan.
Sorry.
Yeah, the person gave him a walkie-talkie. Called it a walkie-talkie, I believe.
And then he
handed it to him. And he said, is it still a walkie-talkie? She goes, yes. Oh.
No, yeah. You just have the first cell phone ever made. Yeah,
exactly. Right, which was called a walkie-talkie.
Yeah,
it matches your IBM computer.
Yeah, it does.
What's happening here?
This... Where was the shot?
They built
this.
Yeah,
it was
in
the bar, wasn't it?
No, this was in the hospital. Okay.
Oh, right, yeah.
No
hospital,
way.
Yeah, it was.
I sat in on this blocking.
Is it really? Oh, come on, Megan. Stop being such an in-crowd person. It's so annoying.
It's not my fault I'm so cool.
It's true.
I really like his performance. I really like what he's doing.
It's fine.
I wasn't going to say anything, but it's just fine. He's great. What's his last name? Paul
Hopkins.
He's really good. He's actually
look at the teeth, man. Look at those teeth.
Yeah, they're impressive.
My mother's a dentist, guys. If anyone's listening to this,
drumming a business for.
No, my dad's a cabinet maker.
You need a cabinet or have your teeth worked
exactly.
Done.
Exactly. You know the Huntington, the Rathringtons.
Hunting rats.
He's
hunting
like a rats. Paul's like a big Shakespeare guy. He does like a lot of stuff in Montreal. Like he does like a lot of. Theater in Montreal, and he does this almost like Shakespeare in the Park, where it's like a traveling Shakespeare in the Park, where they'll
it's Shakespeare in the Park.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
it's almost
it's
like that.
Well,
it's
almost
like
right.
Shakespeare in the Park.
No,
they do the Shakespeare in a park.
No, but it's instead of it just being in Central Park, it's
yeah, it is. We have our own like in Montreal Shakespeare in the Park.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that before.
Never.
Even though I just said it, I don't buy that.
I swear to God, I've been going to that since I was a child.
No, but don't they go to all different parks?
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, so it's slightly different than
traveling Shakespeare in the Park. This scene took a while, huh?
Did it? Was
this was a long one.
Yeah, this was a long one. It was like an effects. There were like 9 of us in the scene.
Yeah.
They grab the green screen, they put it in, they take it out, they
yeah.
get people to stand there, they get people to go away.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Now, the most challenging thing, Megan is sitting on pillows that are made of wood.
Yep.
So that she doesn't actually make an impression in the seat.
And we're actually watching, the movie that we're watching on TV right now, is a movie that Mr. Jerry Chikariti directed.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
In black and white. Anything we ever
you guys
watch
got
on the
so
show.
Close to me here every time. And there was nothing I could do because I couldn't, like, move my head.
Right.
And I was like, you didn't tell me. But you never did.
Never touched him.
You never did.
This is Sally's going outside for the first time.
Whoa. Cool breeze. Light air on my face.
Little
God. Drizzle. Just a drizzle on my brow. Children laughing on the street.
Freshly mowed grass.
Cloves.
Old people wrinkles.
Pipe smoke from my neighbor's porch.
A hookah being smoked by a giant hut named Jabba.
She's just transformed a Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
She goes into...
Could you do that? Could you think
you
hard
could.
Enough?
You
go to a movie?
Yes.
During the scene, there was a cyclist that was to drive by and almost hit me a bunch of times.
Did he drive his cycle, Megan?
Megan,
explain to us what just happened there.
Okay, this is what happens when ghosts touch. Their molecules intermingle and they stick together.
Is that how you make ghost babies?
That is pretty much ghost sex, guys. That's how it happens.
Could you make a little Casper?
I'm hiding my ghost boner.
Anybody ever think about how morbid Casper is, by the way.
The friendly ghost.
So?
No, dude,
friendly.
He's a dead child.
I know, exactly.
Like,
he looks like a baby, though.
I love that. He's like a dead baby.
Stillborn.
He's like
floating.
He's like a 3-year-old dead kid.
Oh.
Who's like around. Can you imagine how freaking terrifying that would
be?
Yeah,
it's not okay.
It's gonna be horrible.
I would love to do our fake voices for this scene.
This would be a
you
good
have
one.
Two beers!
I know, right? Because I drink both at once, and that way I get really, really, really drunk. And,
you know, I'm sick of you. You're an alcoholic, and if you don't give me one of those right now...
I don't think we need to talk about that right now, right? No, seriously, because...
I don't care what you want to talk about and what you don't. Goodbye!
And she's gone again. Whoa!
What's going on there? Are you an alcoholic? I'm an alcoholic. tell you what, give me a beer, and I'm going to just blast myself into oblivion. Pounds.
Nice work.
Oh, God.
Bravo.
I did love this. You know that's coming. You know that's coming. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was good. That was the writers. The writers did that.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that was nice.
Well, that was the tricky thing. There would be all these things written. Sometimes people would forget that, the vampires in our show have ridiculous hearing.
Right.
So there would be things where, like, one vampire standing next to another vampire, one guy whispers, he's like, don't tell the other, but I don't like the way he dresses.
Right.
And you're like, we can't. Really right, do that. Right, the guy right. can hear me, right. you know, and so we had to alter a lot of things. But that,
let me ask you,
that was as written.
Is it the vampire gene? Like, I'm confused now. Like, vampires are dead, right?
Yes,
you're dead. They're dead. Just dead people
dead,
walking
dead
around.
Guys.
And you live off blood, right?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Oh God.
Oh jeez.
Are you okay? Yeah.
Doing
dude,
just
fine. Did that hurt?
Dude, your boner looks a lot like rebar.
It's
what's up with that?
Bleeding too, which is
yeah.
strange.
What's going on with that?
Do you have?
Oh, that's gross.
STD.
No, but seriously though. So like, you're a dead person. Your immune system can't be that great. You know what's going on there? Like, how do you have like super hearing and super scent and super taste? And like, how is that? Like, because essentially you're just a dead guy walking around.
Well,
right?
So it's not. Quite like that. Look.
It's like the vampire gene, right? Isn't that kind of the deal?
It's. I don't know that it's a genetic disorder. It's simply that there's a supernatural aspect to
it. I love
this one.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, this is good. But as I understand it, they are dead. They have no heartbeat. And that's one of the one of the ways they can recognize each other, because they can apparently hear other people's heartbeats, and if they see a guy walking around the street and there's no heartbeat, they know they've got one of their own.
Right.
But if there's tons of heartbeats around, you can't localize it, you know?
Right,
it's like
right,
you're distracted like that.
Right.
But we actually do something like that in a later episode where someone hears a voice and the guy can't hear a heartbeat, so he knows it.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at you with your little backpack.
Look at your backpack. It's my knapsack. Oh, God. You have a mullet.
Hitting that mullet pretty hard.
Yeah, dude.
Did they actually look like that in the 80s?
I think it's a mix of that.
Yeah, right.
Someone did.
Someone
looked
did.
Like that in the 80s.
Losers.
And he died.
Yeah.
He died maybe because he looked like that.
Yeah.
He was ostracized his whole life.
Yeah. Mm. Did he die? How did he die?
He was doing keg stands.
Wait, what? No.
Yeah,
mom.
Yeah. I was in the scene where he explains it.
Oh my God.
Look at that third nipple.
Dude, it's just such a weird double belly button you have.
Double belly button, so intense!
Whoa! I remember when I. Oh God, that's just a bad story.
This,
oh,
by the way,
you.
I swallowed an entire bag of that stuff. It was not. Pleasant.
No, an entire bag?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
I until I realized you don't have to actually drink it. You can make it look like you're drinking it and don't drink it. I thought the camera was going to pick something up, and it didn't. So it was a nightmarish moment. But
those muscles.
God, you're stupid. My God.
And Pellegrino, this night it was funny. He'd be hanging out, we'd be looking for him, I don't know, I'd want to talk to him about what, who knows, but I'd go into maybe Sammy's trailer, like your trailer, and he'd be camped out on the floor watching Twilight Zone, which was awesome. Like, you know, almost, he was just a step away of having a blanket wrapped around him with hot chocolate.
That's so adorable.
But he's, Pellegrino is an interesting guy. When you meet him, He's a little bit.
I don't know. I don't know what word you're going to use here.
Well, I don't want to say
subdued.
Yeah, I don't want to say subdued, but maybe, you know, he's
he seems more serious than he is, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
He's because he's such a douche, just like we are. No, he is. Like, he fits into our little clique like crazy. It's a very cliquey set.
He's also a really conscientious guy. I got to know him quite well. And, you know, we all went on vacation with him recently.
Yeah.
All of us, And we, but I had many long, really cool talks with the guy over the time and realized, I mean, he's a ridiculously intelligent, well-read, sensitive, just a great guy
dude. All around.
But he's, you know, he's a really, unusual, awesome guy and ridiculously talented.
Mm-hmm.
And so fun to be around. And I remember when you guys met him, you guys didn't know what to make of him because he was being a little bit quiet. You guys were like, does he not like us?
Yeah. Well, that's good? Also built into Wrath and my, biology.
we automatically think people
don't like us. Oh, God.
But he was, you know, I think it was more that he's walking around, there's these three idiots who are screaming at each other all the time, and you want to feel that out before you jump right in.
Can I just say right now that to all you listeners out there that we are truly committed to this, and this is why Sam Witwer, in order to keep the ambient noise in the room down, turned off the air conditioning when we started episode one. It is now 100 million degrees in his apartment, and I am sweltering.
And you're in the middle of us.
And I'm in the middle.
But guys, just know that he's wearing his Being Human shirt.
I am.
He is.
And he looks adorbs.
Oh my God, I look like such an idiot.
Adorbs?
Adorbs.
Yeah. Nice. I like to abbreviate.
Are you freshly buried? Is that why like the plot is a little stirred up?
No.
Well,
it
would have
been
6 months.
Months.
Yeah,
seven,
it
would have
been 6 months ago.
No, but did you see how your like little plot was like a little bit?
I guess so. I mean, I guess maybe it takes some time.
Dude,
to
don't
settle
you think
it.
We could have gotten you a new headstone? What's up with all the cracks in that thing?
I don't know.
Well, no, that's a style. They're going for a style.
I don't get that.
They're going for the rustic.
No.
Around for a long time.
No. That's kind of where my sarcasm is coming.
You know, you just took one of another person's headstone
like,
and just like the name.
This one looks fine.
You just moved the headstone.
No. Yeah, let's use an old one.
Yeah,
let's use an old one.
Yeah,
it's very green.
It's a used headstone.
Yeah.
And you just chisel a new name in it. Or find a name that's similar and just put it in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, is that why you keep lifting up your pants like that?
Because I'm hot. By the way, I've taken off my pants 3 or 4 times. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Now, is this when he's discussing the door aspect?
Yeah. And speaking of doors. Hello!
Hey! Bishop!
By the way, I do love the way that Pellegrino asks to be let in, that he's very non-threatening about it.
It's good.
And this, of course, is the aspect of vampire lore that you must invite a vampire in to your house, or something very bad happens to that vampire. They can't just walk into a home whenever they feel like it. That bad things will happen to them, and I'll leave that.
We will get back
right
to you
there.
On that note.
Exactly. We'll get back to you later.
Look at Paul Hopkins' jean shirt. I dig it. I like it.
I think it's chambray.
It's fine.
Oh, God. No, did we? Oh, you went to this location, Sam.
Yeah. Well, I,
where
I
was
show
this?
Up a little bit. This was
on that street, you know?
Oh, on that street in Montreal, yeah.
Yeah, we
like by the tree.
On the corner of vague and nondescript.
Oftentimes we would use people's apartments. Well, in fact, all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, every time.
Yeah.
We would always use someone's apartment or home or house.
Yeah.
Which
is cool because it actually makes it feel like a home or an apartment.
Because
or house.
It is a home
or
an apartment.
We're on location.
I dig the whole do you believe in monsters and Mark just goes,
Yep. Me too.
One of the things that I was really impressed with Mark Pellegrino when I saw him in Dexter was that he if you watch Dexter season one, and I'm going to try not to spoil too much, but he plays an ex-husband to a character that we're getting to know very well, and according to her, he's done terrible things to her, and he's this awful, awful man, and he's violent, and he's all these things. And then when you meet him and he shows up, Mark Pellegrino is just so charming, and he goes to the kids that they have together, and he charms them, and he's really friendly, and he's great with the kids, and it isn't until later that you start seeing the sides of him that they talk about, and I was so impressed by his range, and really he did such a great job of playing against your expectations, because you hear these terrible things about him, and then you end up really liking him.
Well, that's something that actually Mark has said, because he's been actually asked a lot about playing a villain, because he's, you know, kind of historically played quite a few of them.
Yeah.
And he says, you know what, I don't play any of them like villains. I play them with men, with compassion, or not, yes, compassion, but who are passionate. Who are passionate about whatever their plight is. That's, they're driven,
and they have a
and they're clear on what they're,
understandable viewpoint.
Exactly. Or yeah, it's not even if it's not understandable to them
it is.
It makes perfect sense. So it's not like they're not like going out of their way to be evil.
Right.
It's that's who they are. That's what they believe.
Well, I've played some villainous characters as well, and you must do that if you want the character to be interesting in any way.
Yeah.
And Mark did such a good job in our season that he actually caused us, you and me, Sammy,
yeah,
to have to go to the producers and demand a few rewrites, yeah, because by the end of the season we were kind of on his side.
Yeah.
There ends up being this,
oh, the worst shot ever.
You don't like that shot?
Oh God, look at me. It's terrible. What do I look
like
there?
That looks like your passport picture.
Yeah, I'm like 65 years old.
You look so old.
Jesus,
in your passport
picture. I do. Oh, that's because I'm an old man. I get fairly angry.
So this is Banksy that you grab and beat up, right?
Yeah, it is.
Now that's Banksy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know what? Someone had to teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
That guy's also a stuntman.
Yeah,
yeah, he performed some stunt roles and some fight scenes that I did later on in the season.
Me too. He was my stunt guy.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, he was Matamas. He was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was. His name was Thomas.
Oh, you're like Matamas.
Matamas. He was Matamas.
I'm like, that was not his name.
Matamas.
Yeah. And so funny story about this scene. He had just been doubling this guy on actually a film that Megan's brother Jesse worked on, the werewolf movie. Was
The Howling.
The Howling.
Reborn.
Yep. Yep. And he had to put these crazy full eye contacts in that weren't fitted for him or anything.
Oh,
and he got an infection from the contact because they were dirty. And so during that scene when I'm strangling him, he has this like flame red eye, and it's
really?
Because of this horrible infection. But it really just made it look like I was strangling him so hard that he blew a vessel in his eye. Isn't that crazy?
That's
kind of
funny.
I do. I think it's interesting that Josh, as he's hearing about, well, I'm stating the absolute obvious, but he's hearing about this guy who has all the privileges that he once had,
right?
And then immediately takes it out on the tagger. Talking about the rewrites we had to ask for, because Pellegrino played it so reasonably,
so sympathetically
that we didn't understand why.
He was the bad guy.
Why he was the bad guy, basically. Right. And they explained it to us. They said, oh, okay, well, and I'm like, okay, I can see how that would make him, in our eyes, the bad guy.
Mm.
But we're going to need to see that on the page a little bit.
Right.
Because as you've written it, and you underwrote it, and it's wonderful, wonderfully underwritten, but Mark is such a great actor that he's making the audience and us
believe him and
say, no, this is, he's actually right. This is the way it's got to go.
Yeah.
And I think Vince does a very similar thing too, because Vince, as Marcus, doesn't get as much opportunity to explain his viewpoint, but he does get some.
Well,
and
the other thing
you
is,
feel bad for
you
him.
Feel bad for him because he's like the shunned child. You know, he's like the lesser child. Like he and
he's doing all the right
Aiden,
things.
Yeah, yeah. He and Aiden, right? He's trying so hard to impress Dad, who is Bishop.
Yeah.
And he just can't get the respect that he so desperately craves.
Yeah, and
I love this scene.
I do too. I like this scene a lot. Jerry Chikariti called me sexy after we shot this scene.
Did he?
Yeah. Huh. He said, you know, sometimes
a guy's just gotta say to another
guy.
Not in a weird way.
No. Totally cool.
Just two couple guys.
Really, really reasonable guys.
Just hanging loose.
Sailing each other was sexy. And that was the first time maybe ever that anyone's ever called me sexy.
Yeah,
it was
right.
It's unfortunate that it was Jerry Chikariti.
Not your wife.
No.
No one.
No. She thinks the sun rises and sets in me. But sexy? Come on.
Nope.
Come on.
Come on.
Taking my sock off.
Alright.
Taking my Katie sock off.
At a time.
What's up?
Everyone's just getting naked in this
place. What's up? Blech. Stop sprawling your toes.
I'm gonna spread my toes out.
Blech.
They're my piggies. Look at my little pigs, guys. No, this is a sweet scene, though. Getting back to the show.
What is happening in this scene? Remind me which one this is.
This is the one where we confess to each other that we're both
lonely.
And I think it's one of our first real bonding moments.
Right. Yeah, because in the beginning, Josh is not really for the whole
thing. It was very contentious. Very
kind. Now, this was an interesting thing. This scene was shot, and we had this all down, and everything is cool. The problem is, if you didn't see, basically, as the scene was in the rough cut, it was just me on a couch with the dude holding his head. That doesn't really do it, right? So what they did is they cut in all these things, including me standing there, and then found a take where I wasn't standing there so he could look back, and I'm gone. And that described what Aiden was doing.
They happened to find
a piece of footage where it was the same frame, but I wasn't in it. And they decided, okay, well, this will tell us what Aiden is trying to do. What he's trying to do is go and find the memory where this guy saw Aiden and start from there and pluck him out. He wasn't trying to erase the fact that his father...
Oh my god, are his ears bleeding?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
He wasn't trying to erase the fact that his father had been killed, but what he was trying to do was erase the fact that he had seen Aiden and had contact with him since then.
Mm.
And that visually was told, and that made that scene work. Otherwise, it's just a weird scene where a guy is on a couch with another guy holding his face.
Yeah.
You know,
which there's nothing wrong with.
Hey, look,
you know what?
What you're into, this,
there's
like,
nothing wrong with
two cool, smart, really sensitive guys,
really genuine dudes,
gentle,
just touching faces,
just seeing what each other's faces feel like.
No, my socks are off. I am like Huck frickin' Finn right now.
Yeah,
look at those things
with some of the strangest looking feet I've ever seen.
Have you ever seen toes like that? Look at that shelf toes.
What are shelf toes?
Look at that.
Terrible.
Whoa, they're all the same.
They're
horrifying.
There's three, and then there's two.
Oh my god, I thought you were bending the bottom.
No.
Really?
Yeah, so for our audience, Sam Huntington has freakish feet.
Oh my gosh, look at my foot.
Hey, also, the episode, guys, how about that?
Yeah, this is a good scene. So, your feet are fine.
So, we're convinced that it's worked and that Garrity... Here's another thing is, Aiden never tells Sally or Josh what's really happening with him.
Right.
Until really later in the season when it leaks out and things get out of control. Well, I always thought that was interesting that he lies to absolutely everyone.
Mm.
And feels like he has to. And I had a conversation with Adam Kane about that, and he thought the interesting irony was that Aiden doesn't want to, you know, obviously he wants to keep things private for many reasons, but one of those reasons is that he doesn't want these two people to think he wants them to believe that he is a good guy and a conscientious guy, and he feels like he isn't. And the irony is, he actually is, but he's dealing with some awful, awful, awful things, and there's pieces of his past that keep catching up with him. But Aiden is in fact a liar, and he's really good at that. He has a lot of practice.
Here it is.
The door.
That's mahogany.
You know what's funny? When I got to the cemetery, when we first walked on the set, there was a tombstone maybe two plots down that the name was Sally on it. And I was like, oh, my grave! And they're like, over here, this one. Oh. Not that one.
Oh, that's funny.
Why would they put two Sallys next to each other?
Well, that was it. Isn't this a real...
No.
No,
it was constructed.
No, yeah. They actually did a really nice job with the...
Yeah,
it was
amazing.
It ended like where that back path
is.
See.
There were only
and then
they
later on
screened it. Yeah, they
back
screened
there.
It.
Amazing.
It's stained oak or something.
So everyone's is the idea that every ghost store is different?
Yes, right.
Personalized.
Right. I think so. Yeah. And we don't. You know. Okay. I can't talk about that because it's a later episode. But there's an interesting aspect about the whole ghost phenomenon and the nature of the afterlife on the show, and for example, not all characters believe in a real afterlife, which when you frame that against the ghost phenomenon, it makes you really wonder, what is a ghost? What is Sally? Is she a person? Is she a walking memory? Is she a like a, sort of a played back experience of a person? You know, or is this really some form of afterlife? It's there's a lot of questions that are.
Well, it's purgatory, isn't it? It's kind of limbo, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, they describe it in this episode as, like, our matter got tangled and you know, our molecules got tangled. And that kind of makes you think that there is some kind of...
Some kind of energy.
That but she's there.
The interesting thing, though, is, and as we will see in later episodes... Sally isn't just this girl who walks around. Sally, there are other aspects that start manifesting. I don't want to give away too much of what that is, but there are other aspects of her that manifest that she doesn't even have control of.
Right.
And you start going, so what is this entity?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Sally doesn't even know quite what she is, and she's not even in touch with all the pieces of her.
Right.
And even refers to different pieces of her as... you know, by certain names, but it's such an interesting thing that they do hint that it's a lot bigger than just this girl walking around in
right
sweats or whatever.
They're not sweats.
Whatever you're wearing.
What do you wear? I mean,
tights, cardigan, sweater.
And this, handing me the envelope. This was originally to be shot, the envelope opening, in Aiden's room.
Right.
And we ran out of time at the set. And so... what they ended up doing is they're like, well, we're here at Oka and we found what looks like a hospital basement and we'll shoot it there. And that made it a much more interesting scene.
I remember.
Because it means that Aiden doesn't even take it home.
Yeah.
He doesn't even, you know, his refuge, the place where he feels like he wants to, a place where he can feel like he can be himself, he still can't be himself because that's where Josh and Sally are. So he doesn't do that. He takes it into the basement of the hospital. And he opens it there. I think that's really fascinating. Oh, and then developments on the Sally story.
Brigitte
Nielsen?
Yeah.
And then it's just fucking Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the what? And actually, Danny is now Flava Flav.
I wish.
When they return to the couch.
Sally's in Flavor of Love.
Yes.
People like black and white movies in this show.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, is that anytime we're watching TV on the show, it's in black and white.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, who cares? I'm just kidding. So this was a tough shot, believe it or not, because it was really, really, really hard for them with the light to pull focus.
I remember this night.
Really, really hard.
I can't visit this night.
When I stopped, I had to stand perfectly still.
Yeah.
There couldn't be any wavering. And we did it like 12 or 13 times, and it was just like over and over and over and over. And luckily it was an easy shot, but, or luckily it was, you know, it wasn't, you know, too physically demanding.
But I remember you did it over and over and
over.
Over
and over and over and over again.
It's very shocking how that picture's shown, the blood smeared over a family picture. It's like, I guess it was him as a kid. With
it's
his
extremely
dad.
Yeah. Dark.
Yeah.
And there were more pictures. All of those were different, you know, pieces of the suicide
scene. I guess
they
decided how much they wanted the network.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. In terms of what we really shot on any of these episodes, it's always...
Right.
We always go to the absolute maximum that it could be so that the network can scale it back.
Right.
And it's always the way it's designed to be. Anyway.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you very much for listening, guys.
Yay!
And we'll see you for episode 4.
Where we're going to be just far more coherent.
And less clothed.
Oh my god.
Yes, exactly. Better rested. And just sensitive.
More naked.
Naked.
But naked.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.